how to double your email open rate. Contrary to popular opinion, email is not dead. Most people just do it wrong. And I personally made most of the money that I've made in the mortgage business is from email. So in this episode, I'm going to cover 5 tactics and some things I'm going to make sure that you understand why no one responds to your email and what you can do about it. The number one tactic to significantly improve your emails, and also a trick to make your emails less boring to read that actually has nothing to do with the content. Hi, I'm your host, Scott Peckford. This is the I Love Mortgage Brokering weekly 10-minute tactical podcast, where I share with you tactics that you can apply immediately in your mortgage business. Stick around at the end because I'm going to share with you where you can find a video that is personally, I think, the best training on how to write engaging emails, and it's full free. I'll tell you where to get that. Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. It's got cool features like smart docs. It knows what documents your client needs based on the application. It's got smart submission notes. It pulls key data from the app. And finally, it's also got connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the best tool for searching rates and guidelines. Check them out at lendus.com/Finmo. All right, let's jump into this. Is email dead? It is not dead. In fact, it is alive and well. I just went to a conference in Orlando a couple months ago that was about social media. And surprise, surprise, one of the biggest takeaways that I got from this, and this was from people way smarter than me, was the importance of building a freaking email list. One of the speakers had said, you know, the thing about social platforms is you are renting on those platforms. You have no control over A, the algorithm, B, if they shut it down, C, who's going to see your stuff. But if you build an email list, that's something you can actually control. And so I'm not saying I'm all in on social. I'm doing so everything I can. If you're not following me, go follow me. I'm doing everything I can to do social well. But I also know that one of the goals of social for me is to build my email list. That should be one of your goals as well. So there was a guy at the conference who had 108,000 subscribers on YouTube. And somehow his account got flagged by YouTube's AI saying that was something inappropriate about it. They nuked his account. By the time they realized, oh yeah, you know what? Our bad, sorry. Account was gone. And so he had to start from scratch. Happened to my wife. She had an Instagram account that got hacked and they held it hostage. And we thought, oh, there's no way that we won't get this back. She's got proof that she's owned it. She's had it for years. Well, by the time, A, you can never get anybody from Instagram. She had 45,000 followers at the time. Nobody from Instagram, you can get them on the phone. By the time we got the account back, which is over a month later, there was zero followers. She had to start from scratch. And the only reason that her business didn't completely blow up or nuke is because she had a massive email list and she could rebuild that social account and she was able to make sales from email. So email is not dead. It's just people do it wrong. So I'm going to share with you 5 tactics that you can use to dramatically improve your email. I'm going to do another podcast at some point on, I got a tool that I use that literally is a 50% open rate. It's ridiculous, but it's probably going to lend itself better to video. So I will save that for a future episode. But in any case, so the 5 tactics that I want to give you today to help you improve emails. For the first that I see teachers do this, nothing against our teacher friends, is they write an email to a group instead of one person. If you write an email, it's like, hey, everybody, can you da-da-da-da-da, give me your opinion on this or whatever. Nobody pays attention. They do not care at all. And so the trick is to write to one person. What I do, I do this psychologically. I actually imagine a person in my mind. When I write an email, I imagine the person in my mind. I write, hi, Sally. If that's, you know, if I'm picturing your Sally. And then I write the entire thing as if I'm sending it to Sally. Just because I'm sending it to 7,000 mortgage brokers doesn't mean that I'm not writing to one person. Because if you write it to one, they'll pay attention. And so there's been some research on this where there's 2 ways I can prove this. One, if you have more than one kid, I have 3 kids. And if I say, hey, can somebody empty the dishwasher? Guess who empties it? Me. Because they're not going to, when they hear somebody, they're not going to do it. When I say, hey, Carson, can you empty the dishwasher? It's very specific. And so if the request is specific, then the response will be specific. But there's other research done where they wanted to see if people needed help, looked like they needed help, would it be better to be found by a single person or by a group of people? And so there was a concert. They'd have a spot where this person looked like they were in trouble, whether it was like they were passed out or something. And they wanted to see, would it be better if a group found you or one person? Turns out it's way better to be found by one person. Because when a group spots you and goes, everybody else thinks somebody else will answer this. When you write your emails to a group of people instead of to one person, everybody thinks somebody else will answer this. This isn't for me. And so, I missed a email from my teacher. She sent me an email from my kid's teacher and it was this massive thing. And it started off with all this nonsense. And by the time, and down in the bottom somewhere, it's like, oh, parent-teacher interviews are on like Thursday. I missed parent-teacher interviews. My wife and I both missed it. And it's because it was like, we didn't even see it. Okay. Second is share a story. So first is write email to one person. So think of one person, write it to them. 2, use stories in your email. And at the end, I'm going to share with you what is called the Seinfeld story method from Russell Brunson. I'll show you where you can find that link. It's not easy to find, but I have it. I'll give it to you. It's awesome. And so, but you're like, Scott, okay, that's great. Because here's the thing. If you've been at a conference and somebody's out there talking, blah, 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 and they're giving you numbers and stats and figures and all this other crap, and then they switch to telling you a story, your brain just goes zoop. You're like, I'm paying attention. Tell me your story. The story can be about nonsense. Look at Seinfeld. It was really a story about nothing. And so stories are very powerful, and you have way more of them than you realize. The reality is that every time you get a file that stresses you out, whether it was a problem that you solved, a recent win that you had, use those stories. Obviously, whitewash them. Don't take out client information. Don't be like, hey, this is, you know, Bob Smith. He had a 550 credit score, da, 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 and, you know, wouldn't pay his child support. I still got him a mortgage. Well, hopefully, anyways, it's a terrible story. But you know what I'm saying? You whitewash it, but you tell an interesting story and people are going to pay way more attention. Stories are powerful and our brains are wired for stories. As soon as you start telling a story, the person will pay attention and and you get them hooked. And if you're on my email list, and if you're not, I encourage you to do that. I send out a Sunday email that always starts with a story. And I have a list of 100 plus. Whenever something happens, I'm like, oh, my Canadian Tire, this random thing happened. I'm like, oh, that'd be an interesting story. I make myself a little note in my folder, and then I have this list. Same with you. You have a file situation that happens. It could be a client problem. It could be whatever. It could be a thing that happens that is with your kids, you know, coaching. Somebody's coaching your kid. It makes you think of something to do with mortgages or something to do. Use it. Just tell that story. And if you're not good at writing, you can go into ChatGPT. You can give it some prompts, and it'll actually build the thing for you. And then you can just clean it up and use it yourself. I actually like to write stories, or I like to write rather. And so for me, I use ChatGPT to do some at the back end. But if you want, you could just literally take that, put it into ChatGPT, and it would spit out a story, and then you could clean it up and make it your own. It would take you minutes to do, right? So you give it bullet points and say, write this into a story form, and da-da-da-da-da. Now you have a story you can use and drop in your email. Tip one, write email to one person. Tip two, share stories. Tip three, don't write in large blocks of text. So this is what the teachers do. That I often find is they'll send an email, it's just a wall of text, it's like these giant paragraphs. It's like, this is not it. I don't want to read this. If you're on my email, I will never have three sentences blocked together. It just looks tiring. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I can't read this. Ugh. So same with you. I like to break my text into smaller chunks, usually no more than a couple sentences. It looks like a lot of little sentences, but it's way easier to read. Keep in mind, people are reading this on their phones most of the time. So they're on their phone, and if it's like, oh my goodness, and the formatting looks horrible when it's, you know, all this massive long paragraph. So make it short, right? That's a key thing, and it'll get engaged more, it'll get read more. Anybody that I follow that's a marketer that makes millions and millions of dollars on email, this is what they do. They use stories, they write to one person, and they break that text into chunks, small bits. Sometimes they'll have one word on the line because they want it to stand out, right? It'll be like, I'm a bad parent or something. I've used that line in the email. I'm a bad parent. It's like, well, you see that and you're like, what do you mean you're a bad parent? Now I want to know what you're talking about. Maybe you are a bad parent and I should call social services, or maybe there's a story here. And so the idea is that you want to make it stand out. So take that text, break it into chunks. And I'd like to use no more than two sentences, three if it's really short. But man, I look at it and go, ah, it's too much text. I'm tired. I'm like, I want to take a break in the middle of reading. And you do this naturally. You may not realize you're doing it, but you'll do it. If somebody sends you an email with a long wall of stuff, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to read this. So make sure you do that. The other trick that you can do, and I used to do this, and I'm going to start again. If you're on my email list, you're going to notice, because I was like, dang it, I need to start doing this. And I got this from Tim Ferriss, is you'll have an email and he'll actually bold out key points in the email so that if you skim, if you don't want to read the whole email, let's say you're like, I don't know if I want to read this. But if you bold out the key points of the email, where if they skim it and they go, oh, it actually tells enough of the story, two things will happen. One, they'll still get the point of the email. Two, often they'll go back and read the whole thing because it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. So I used to do this religiously. I slipped, you know, like everybody, you know, in preparing this podcast, I was like, I got to get my act together and make that better. So you're going to see me improve on that. Tip number four, include screenshots or personal image. So to make your story interesting. So you can use a screenshot. It can be something the client sent you. Get permission or white out anything that's personal. And you can tell, because if you're telling a story about, you know, hey, we had this agent. I got an email recently from an agent saying, oh my gosh, Scott, we just came joined Bricks. I've been in the business for a while and I know process. I had this. Now we've got all this built. I can't believe how much better it is and yada, yada, yada. Well, if I put that screenshot, and I got permission, by the way, in an email, it's going to be way more effective than me just telling the story about this guy, Jason, who had a great experience, right? Because it's like, oh, The other thing you can do is use a photo. So recently I was talking about being at Canadian Tire, and they had these cool, like you're looking for lights for a car, you know, for your headlights and your brake lights. As you search on an iPad and it goes, okay, you need, because there's a bajillion lights, and you search on the iPad and then it'll be like, oh, you need this light, A26, B4, whatever. But then, so that's like, dang, now I got to look on this wall of lights and find the right one. What they have is you hit a button and there's a light right on that thing and it's hanging there. So it starts blinking. And I'm like, this is brilliant. Like, not only did the iPad solve the first problem, which is identify which one I needed to get, the light actually made it even easier for me. And I was like, this is, I'm going to use this in an email. And I did, took two pictures, put it into an email, and talked about technology. And so that is an example of it makes the story more interesting. And they don't need to be perfect photos. In fact, if they look like you took them off your phone, people are going to pay more attention because it's not this, you know, crafted email, whatever, that looks like a newsletter. I actually don't think newsletters do not typically engage as well as what looks like a one-to-one email, because you wouldn't send an email that has a big banner like Scott Peckford's email address, you know, and then it looks, that feels like a one-to-many. You're like, this is a newsletter, versus if I send an email, it's just subject line, whatever, check this out. And then I write you a story. It feels more like I'm writing to you. So that's important too. So tip number five, always include some form of call to action. So a call to action doesn't have to be book a call with me. So if you're sending an email to do with refis or renewals or something, it can be share this with a friend. If you found this information useful, share this with a friend. Check out this, could be a call to action. We check out this video, check out this podcast, check out this clip on my social. You know, doing story, writing emails that point to your social gets people that are in your email address onto your social, drives more social views, which then drives your social, gets more people see it. So there's like, this is all a virtuous cycle thing. So I think it's always important to include a call to action. I'm going to add a tip 6 point, you know, whatever. The 5B is PS. Everybody reads the PS. So if you want something important, and I guarantee you that if you look at email and just watch your own behavior, if you see a PS, you'll skim the whole thing. PS, you know, I didn't want to share this, but here's a link to blah. You're like, oh, well, and everybody reads it. So you can include a PS. I love that. It's where I get the most clicks. If I got links in the email and then in the PS always gets clicked the most. So quick recap, I'm over 10 minutes. There's a lot of content in here. Write to one person, right? Don't write to a group. Two, share stories. Three, don't write in large blocks of paragraphs. Use bolding for the highlighting. Four, include images or screenshots whenever you can to help tell the story, carry the story along. And five, always include a call to action. So if you found that useful, I'm going to tell you, so you can get, if you want, there's a Russell Brunson who is like a, he makes like a, I don't know, tons of money. He's made a company called ClickFunnels, and he knows marketing better than like 99.9999% of the population. And he's got a video called Daily Seinfeld Emails. And Seinfeld was a story about nothing. And so he would write these emails that were basically about nothing, but they would, he can always turn them into a call to action. Literally, he's like, hey, I was at jujitsu, a guy choked me out, and da 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 da, and here, buy my stuff. It's like, how the heck does he do that? He breaks that all down for you. And so if you want that, if you click on this podcast episode, there will be a link right there. So in your player, click link, there'll be a link to that Daily Seinfeld. You can email me and say, Scott, give me that podcast, or don't say it that way. Say, Scott, can you send me the link to the Daily Seinfeld, to the Seinfeld emails? I will send it to you. Or if you follow me on social, you can do the same. You can message me on social and say, hey, Scott, can you send me that link? And I will send it to you. Because I've watched it a couple times. It absolutely works, and it will improve your emails dramatically. So hopefully you find this useful. And as we always say, if you found it useful, share it with somebody. There's my call to action. So share it with a friend. Say, hey, check this out. Love to hear your thoughts on it. And as always, remember, there's no problem in your mortgage business that someone else hasn't already solved. Your challenge is like, who's got the answer? And once you find that, your business will explode. Make it an outstanding day, and I'll see you on the next episode.